I'm Connie Kaplan, and welcome to the Invisible Garment Podcast, where we talk about spiritual principles, knitting, and the politics of ethical behavior. Today's principle, extension. Today, Chili's will teach us about the principle of extension. You'll get a spiritual knitting assignment. We'll be talking about how to be for something rather than against something. And yes, I was caught in a great big fat stupid historical faux pas for which I will apologize profusely. So wash your hands, everyone. It's time to talk about extension. The principle of extension can basically be summed up in five little words. Life longs to extend itself. We see this in the plant kingdom. The roots, the branches, the leaves, the acorns, everything about the plant kingdom demonstrates that it wants to recreate itself. We see it in algae, we see it in weeds, we see it in bacteria, we see it in every form of life. Every form of intelligence wants to create more of itself. And we see in nature that there are many helpers. The bees, the wind, all of those little helpers that cross-pollinate and carry seeds. And we see how nature creates partnerships in order for life to extend itself. So that's basically all you need to know about the principle of extension. I want to talk about Chili's, though, because I just heard this great story on one of my favorite podcasts called The Splendid Table. A story about how Chili's created their hotness in order to ward off bacteria. And I thought that was just such an interesting story about extension. Chili's wanted to live, and they wanted to recreate themselves. But bacteria also wanted to live, and bacteria could live by eating the Chili's. So the Chili's had to figure out a way to convince the bacteria not to eat them. So the Chili's became hot. And what's really interesting is that we know this partially because Chili's that grow in really hot climates where the bacteria doesn't thrive anyway are not hot. They're sweet. Chili's who grow in the more humid and gentler climates are the ones that are hot. So see, nature, evolution all works together to create the best possible compromise so that life can extend itself. Now, in addition to extending itself, life also enjoys exchanging information with itself. We can observe this in babies. You know how they just like have to touch and lick and eat and chew everything. They don't just look at things. They gather information by actually touching things. We see it in our pets that have to sniff everything. And in other ways, we see it in the growth of the internet, in social networking sites. And of course, we see it in Chili's. Doing this podcast has reintroduced to me how the universe just seems to sort of line up behind you when you have a good idea. I enjoy doing this podcast, and every week, as soon as I finish one, I start thinking about the next principle, and I start wondering, you know, what I should say and what I could do to enthuse you about this principle. So I found that as I'm doing this, all these little kind of mini miracles show up, little funny signs that I might have missed, you know, if I weren't looking for something to say on my podcast. Finding the perfect song at the very last minute, or that whole thing with Ted Kennedy when, you know, he died as I was writing the podcast for Purity and I discovered that he was connected to Purity. Sometimes I hear a great story, or I bump into a knitted garment and remember the process of knitting it and realize that that process fits directly into the principle that I'm working on this week. Well, today another one happened. I was writing the principle of extension, writing about the principle of extension. And I don't know, something just said, I think I'll go check my Twitter thing. So I went to Twitter and I had this new tweet And it said, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. This is a quotation from St. Francis of Assisi. Now, how ironic is that? In The Invisible Garment, I spoke at length about how gardening connects us directly with the principle of extension, because the principle of extension is focused in our hands, in our physical bodies. And when we dig in the garden and encounter plants and encounter the earth and work with our hands, we are actually practicing the principle of extension. Well, as you know, St. Francis of Assisi was a masterful gardener, and in fact, he was so wonderful in the garden that he's been unfortunately reduced to a garden bird feeder for most of us. But he was surely talking in this quotation about doing the work of the gospel, in other words, spreading the good news with your hands, with your actions, more than with your words. I thought this was so significant, especially coming on this particular day and coming from Twitter of all places. I was so excited about this tweet that I actually retweeted it. Yes, I tweet and retweet. So your hands, this is the focus of the extension principle. It's as if you have eyes in the palms of your hands. And through these eyes, you can see energy, you can sense energy. If you've ever been to a healer and felt the healing touch from someone else, you know what I'm talking about. But you need to also remember that whether or not you are a trained healer, your touch is also healing, because you share energy with people when you touch them. You share cells with objects when you touch them. And then you must remember one more thing, which is that when you touch something, you are also being touched back. Even when you touch an inanimate object, it is touching you back. There is this wonderful exchange of energy through the hands. Many who love to anthropomorphize God often make references to the hand of God. I've been thinking about that Leonardo da Vinci painting where we see the hand of God reaching toward Adam. It's as if that painting is saying, God longs for life to extend itself. And God will lend us a hand when we try to extend. Now for the knitting portion of our podcast. Obviously, you use your hands when you knit. Obviously, you exchange cells and you exchange energy with the fibers as you knit. People who spin their own threads and then knit with them have an even more emotional or energetic connection to the objects that they knit. So when a knitter is working, extension is operating through that person. His or her intentions, his or her desires, his or her emotions are going into that fiber. Now, I took an informal poll amongst the knitters that I know recently, and the result was quite surprising, or I don't know, maybe it wasn't, but it seemed surprising to me. Most knitters give away most of what they knit. In fact, according to my little informal poll, 90% of knitting is given away. Now that's really sweet. That becomes a way of extending ourselves. We create something with our intention, with our love, with our prayers, all woven into it, and we give it away as a gift. But when I took that poll, I thought, you know, there's something not totally balanced about that. So I made a little pledge to myself that for every 3 garments that I give away, I will make 1 for myself. So every 3 pair of socks, I get a sock. Or I get a pair of socks. For every 3 scarves, I get a scarf. Or sometimes it's for every 3 pair of socks, I get a sweater. Just to be, you know, even more balanced. So anyway, I've cut my own knitting giving away to a 75-25% ratio. So I have a suggestion for you. If you knit at all, if you know anything about knitting, I think you should think about knitting yourself some gloves. Now, if you're not very sophisticated as a knitter and the whole finger thing throws you, just knit some of those fingerless gloves that go, you know, just down to the knuckles. But if you knit yourself some gloves, let's say cashmere gloves, every time you wear them for the rest of your life, you're going to think about the principle of extension, because you're going to be putting on your hands these garments that you made for yourself. Along with perfectly fitting socks, a pair of gloves that totally fit your hands. It's a heavenly experience. It's religious. So I'm giving you this little assignment. Make gloves for yourself with the intention of extension in every stitch. Make gloves for yourself while thinking deeply about what you tend to extend into the world. And every time you wear them, forever and ever, you'll energize your hands with the principle of extension. I promise you that. I'll put a couple of pattern links in the notes for this podcast, just so you'll do your homework. Now, this is the section we call the politics of ethical behavior. And today we're going to talk a little bit about how, if extension is the principle that guides your ethical decisions, how does it show up? How do your decisions extend life? Are you a naysayer? Do you know how much more powerful it is to be for something than against something? Think about it. If you're pushing against something that is totally stable, then you're fighting a rather losing battle. It's better to be pulling. It's better to be leading. It's better to be for something than against something. It's better to be for peace than against war. It's better to be for constructive change than against change at all. If extension is the principle that guides your ethical decisions, you will find that you are more often on the side of being for rather than against. Really, think of all of the social movements in our history. They've all won eventually because they were for something, not against something. They asked for actions in favor of something rather than against something. Whether we're talking about labor unions or racial equality or equal rights for women or gay rights, which will eventually win, we will always see that social movements that are for something are on the right side of history. To be on the right side of extension is to be on the right side of history. To be on the right side of extension is to be for the betterment of life. To make a decision in favor of something is powerful because it is in alignment with a primary spiritual principle of extension. Now back to those chilies. Let's assume that extension was a part of the evolutionary drive to become hot. Let's assume that the decision to become hot was a decision for extension rather than against bacteria. Do you see what I'm saying? The chilies didn't develop an antibacterial-like pesticide. They just created an environment within themselves that was supportive of chili health, of chili extension. This is what I'm talking about. Creating an attitude of being for the extension of life describes the politics of ethical behavior if extension is your principle. So various decisions will show up as positive decisions. Rather than deciding not to marry, you would actually decide to be single. Rather than deciding not to move, you will have decided to stay. Rather than deciding not to go to a party, you will have decided to be in solitude. It's a more powerful and simultaneously more gentle way of making your decisions. It's more like the glass half full. And that's what extension is. Extension is a principle that wants to create more and therefore sees what is as a potential for creating more. Rather than stopping history, rather than changing the direction of the movement, extension longs for more movement. It's about reaching out and touching life with affirmative actions. Okay, now to the feedback. I got some great feedback this week, some wonderful letters. Thank you so much. I love receiving letters about the podcast. I love knowing that somebody's listening. But one of the letters made me absolutely blush at my own stupidity. Last week, when I was talking about Edward R. Murrow being such a truth teller, I said that Edward R. Murrow brought Eugene McCarthy to his knees. Well, that wasn't Eugene McCarthy. That was Joe McCarthy. And I want to thank Jan McGuire for reminding me of that. It's not as if I wasn't around both during the Joe McCarthy days and the Eugene McCarthy days. And believe me, I was devastated when Eugene McCarthy was brought to his knees by Richard Nixon, of all people. But anyway, why I got the names mixed up, it's a senior moment. I apologize to Eugene McCarthy for even implying in the vaguest way that he was anything like Joe McCarthy. So anyway, my memory needs some work, apparently. I apologize for that. And again, I thank you all for your wonderful feedback and for your sweet letters. As always, thanks to Kevin Brennan for the music. Please be sure and go purchase some of his music at his website, www.fboo.com. F as in Frank, boo as in boo-boo. And please come to the Turtle Dreamers website. The link for the extension newsletter will be in the program notes of this podcast so that you can go and read more about extension. Or you can just go to the homepage and click on the archives for the newsletter and choose any of the principles that you want to read, but extension is there. While you're there, please go to the free dream space and read about what we're dreaming together and share dreams and share ideas and opinions. You may also order the invisible garment there if you don't have it and you want to have it. And you can join in some of the other forums. There is a forum on just the 30 spiritual principles. So if you have something that you would like to say about extension, please share with us. Now for our ending surprise. Just listen to these lyrics by Eric Mascal. All the stars are aligned. I couldn't lose if I wanted to. Our house is on fire, but the rain will put it out. These impossible minds should be looking up, but they're looking down. And obvious signs get past me all the time. No story's so hard it won't fit on a postcard. And the sun didn't shine in your back door. The angels wandered and my chariot swung too low. Your home is further down on the island in the back of your head. The big hand is clamoring to grab you right out of the sky. Take a listen. All the stars are aligned. I couldn't lose if I wanted. Our house is on fire, but the rain will put it out. These impossible minds should be looking up, but they're looking down. And obvious signs next time, sweet dreams.